It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Michael Cassero, and co-host, John Ashton. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit online, painlessliving.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Painless Living Show. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassero, and I will be here for the next hour to talk with you about chronic pain. Co-host John Ashton is not with us today. John is taking some well-deserved time off, so I'll be taking your calls today for the next hour. Calls anything about chronic pain, anything that hurts, I'm your source for information to help. The topic for today's show is fibromyalgia, and of course all calls about fibromyalgia are welcome, but any other pain problem that you might be suffering with or that someone you know might be suffering with, give me a call. I'll steer you towards professional help if that's appropriate, or self-help, things that you can do at home starting today so that you can lead a pain-free life. Now, this is your chance on a Saturday morning to get a consultation with a real physician with no waiting, no waiting room, outdated magazines, anything like that. So go ahead, give a call. That number is 888-440-4442, and I'll be here for the next hour to take your calls. Now, every week we do have a topic for the show, and today's topic is fibromyalgia. We're going to talk about some of the things that are characteristic of fibromyalgia, some of the things, the common things that people experience when they have fibromyalgia, and then some of the things that you can do to help to relieve a lot of the symptoms from fibromyalgia. First, I'll start off by telling a little bit about what fibromyalgia is. And that's hard to do because fibromyalgia is not just one thing. And that's why it's so difficult for a lot of people to get effective treatment. And it's also why it's difficult for a lot of people to even get a diagnosis. Frequently, there's some sort of trauma that precedes the onset of fibromyalgia. It might be minor trauma, like a fender bender, small whiplash, something like that, slip and fall. It could be an illness. The most common illnesses are viral infections, like mononucleosis would be probably the most common, or even things like the flu or a bad cold could precede the onset of fibromyalgia. And then there's also toxic exposures. And those could include things as innocuous as a bee sting. It would have to be a particularly bad case, I would guess. All the way up to chemical exposures, some sort of industrial exposure, things like that. And these start a process inside the person's body that has them get effects far and wide, all different organ systems. The immune system is affected, digestion is affected, the brain and central nervous system is affected, and of course people feel a lot of pain and fatigue. Those are probably the two most common symptoms. A lot of times the reason that people have a hard time getting a diagnosis is they go to the doctor with one particular complaint when it's starting, and everything focuses around that particular symptom. And then another symptom comes, and it's viewed as a different condition. And the person may even go to a different doctor when they start getting joint aches. They go maybe to an orthopedic doctor or a rheumatologist. And then when they start getting some depression or memory problems, they end up with a psychologist or another healthcare provider for other symptoms. And it takes a while before people finally put all the pieces together and say, I think this is all related. I think this person has fibromyalgia. So that's the battle that a lot of people face early on with even finding out that this is what they've got. If you think it's what you've got, pick up the phone now. Give me a call, 888-440-4442, and I will be here to help you find more answers. Even after people get the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, getting treatment is even more difficult because, once again, the treatment tends to be at specific symptoms. So if someone is complaining that they can't sleep, they get prescribed something to help with sleep. And then that might make them too drowsy during the day. So they get prescribed something else to keep them awake during the day. And they might be having problems with joint pain. They get prescribed pain medicine. And that has its side effects. They might have weakness or muscle aches, things like that. And it just cascades. All the treatments are separate. There's not really a coordinated approach. So what I'm going to talk about today is how to coordinate the approach and what types of things to focus on, at least in the beginning, to have the least problem with side effects as you're battling the effects of the fibromyalgia. So once again, that telephone number today is 888-440-4442, and I will help you get answers. One of the biggest complaints that we get with people with fibromyalgia is that they're tired all the time. Just fatigue is a lot of times even worse than the pain and the brain fog, is the fact that they just can't get motivated to do anything. They don't feel like they have the energy to do the things that they need to do. And it's real tough to get energy when one of the problems with fibromyalgia is that your body's energy generating systems are not working right. And there are a lot of contributions to this, mostly from prescription medicines, but it can still be from other aspects of the disease or the treatments. So overcoming fatigue, first of all, you got to sleep. Some people with fibromyalgia don't sleep at all. And if not, that needs to be addressed. But more often, what happens is people sleep, but they can sleep all night long. And when they awaken in the morning, they're just as tired as they were when they went to bed at night because they're not getting rejuvenating sleep. Well, unfortunately, the answer for that is not sleep medicines, because there's a difference between being unconscious and getting restorative sleep. And sleep medicines will help you to be unconscious, but they don't always help you get restorative sleep. So the most important thing is to find ways to get restorative sleep. And when it comes to getting to sleep and then getting restorative sleep, one of the biggest impediments is usually a problem in the metabolism with the adrenal glands. They're frequently affected by fibromyalgia. So that might take some testing to figure out which way you need treatment there, whether your cortisol is too low or non-existent, whether it's too high, whether it's just mismatched throughout the day. And there's some rather simple testing that can be done to help answer that question. This is a blood test that can be used for screening, but the better testing is with saliva, where you get to see what your cortisol is like in your saliva at various times throughout the day. It gives a better picture of how your overall adrenal function stacks up. So what we'll do is talk a little bit more about the testing when we come back from this break. And we'll also talk then about what you can do on your own at home to help sleep better if you've got fibromyalgia interfering with your sleep. So that number is 888-440-4442. We'll take a quick break here, and I will be back after the break to continue answering questions and to take your calls.
Thank you. To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
Welcome back from the break. This is the Painless Living Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassero. Today's topic on the Painless Living Show is fibromyalgia. And I will answer any calls we get from callers about fibromyalgia or about any other pain problem. So all pain questions are welcome. That number again is 888-440-4442. Also, if you don't want to get on the air, you can use the contact form on our website, painlessslivingshow.com. There's a contact form there. You can put in information about your condition and your questions, and I'll answer those. Every one of those comes directly to me. I will get to them eventually. No promises on a prompt response, so don't hit the enter key and then sit there waiting for a reply. Every once in a while, one of those strikes a particular note, and I copy that down to use on the show. And I've got one of those questions here today that I'm going to read about a listener with fibromyalgia. It says, I have fibromyalgia. I am tired all the time. My worst pain is my neck, shoulders, back, and legs. But being tired is worse than the pain. Sometimes I will sleep for 24 hours straight and wake up just as tired as when I went to sleep. Because I sleep so much, I keep getting my medicines confused. There is too much medicine. Even on a good day, I can hardly keep them straight. I live with my parents. They are raising my children. I work in their business. If I didn't have them, I don't know what I would do. Do you treat fibromyalgia? What can you do for me? I just want to be normal. Well, the first answer to that is yes, I do treat fibromyalgia. And that's one of the things I want to comment on is when I first did my training in the early 1980s, in my entire training, I knew of two people that came in the entire 3 years that I was in training that had fibromyalgia. I actually participated in the treatment for one of them. The other one was one of my other colleagues. So in the early 1980s, this was a rare condition. I went into practice in 1985, and by the late 1980s, I was seeing maybe two or three people a year with fibromyalgia. So it was still very uncommon. By the mid-1990s, I was seeing one or two people, well, maybe not quite one every month, let's say 10 to 12 people a year with fibromyalgia. By the late 1990s, around 2000, I was seeing one or more every month. And by the early 2000s, I was seeing people with fibromyalgia every week, maybe even two or three a week. So this is a condition that is getting more and more common. And it's not just because it's being diagnosed more, it's people are being affected by it more. And there are probably a lot of reasons for this, but and they all contribute, of course. But the point is that I do treat fibromyalgia, and I treat it a whole lot more often than I should. And one of the things that I wonder is why, with all that's known, there's a lot that's unknown, but with all that is known about fibromyalgia, why does it continue to get more and more prevalent? So the next part of the answer is to the question, what can you do for me? Well, I can do for her the same things that I'm going to try to start with on the radio with you. But of course, on the radio, I can't do a physical exam, a physical examination. But if you call in, I can get question and answer back and forth about what your symptoms are. And that helps to narrow down a little bit so that we're talking about more specific information. So that number again is 888 440 4442. And a lot of times, people that have fibromyalgia have difficulty with getting everything together, to have a pencil in their hand ready to write down that number when I read it, and then to be able to write it down as fast as I'm saying the numbers. So that's one of the reasons that I'm repeating that number often today, is that I know that people with fibromyalgia may be listening. Okay, going back to this unfortunate lady's question, one of the things that she says on here is that the worst pain is in her neck, shoulders, back, and legs. Okay, my next question, not to be too flippant about this, was, okay, where's the next worst pain? And that just goes to illustrate one of the problems with people with fibromyalgia. They hurt all over, and a lot of times it's difficult for them to tell where this pain is coming from. It's just pain coming from everywhere. And that's one of the clues that there's more involved here than just a simple thing that it hurts right here, and you treat that problem right here, and it'll go away. Your body has multiple signaling systems. One of them is your nervous system, and that carries discrete signals. Like if you tell your finger to move, the brain sends the signal and your finger moves. If you touch something with your finger, it sends a signal back to your brain that says, finger just touched something. So that's discrete signals. There are other signaling systems, the hormone system and the immune system, that send signals that are not quite as discrete. If your body wants to send a signal to every cell in your body, even though each cell may react differently to that signal, but all the cells get the same signal, the hormone system is used. You release hormones into your bloodstream, they circulate and get delivered to every cell in your body. Also, your immune system sends signals where your brain picks up a signal from the immune system that there's something out there causing pain, but because your immune system is everywhere and comes from everywhere, your brain can't tell where it's coming from. And that's a big part of the reason why these people with fibromyalgia feel like the pain is everywhere. So when this lady said that my worst pain is, and then she pretty much names most of her body, that's because her immune system is probably a big part of her overall fibromyalgia problems. And then she says, being tired is worse than the pain. Well, if the pain's coming from everywhere and being tired is worse, I could imagine she must really be tired. And she's so tired here that she lives with her parents and they're raising her children. And she works in their business. Even though she doesn't say it here, I get the impression that if she didn't have her parents to keep her employed in their business, she might not be holding down a job at all. So there's a little bit there to be thankful for, I guess. But that's a big complaint of people that have fibromyalgia. And part of that is that they don't generate energy inside the cells in their body to the extent that they need to. And there are a lot of problems with this, but one of the biggest problems is that their detoxification is probably not working right. They're building up the cellular exhaust inside their cells, kind of like running your car in the garage with the windows and doors closed. And when that's happening, your cell isn't going to be able to generate more energy to do much, and you feel pretty sick. So you need to open up those windows and doors, and that ends up being a real good first step. So for people at home, what you can do to help improve getting that cellular exhaust out is looking first at diet. A lot of the things that help with detoxification have to come from your diet. So those things have to be there. Now, they can be, the best thing is to get them through whole food, but if you're not eating right, or you've got problems with eating, as most people with fibromyalgia do, then take nutritional supplements. Something to improve detoxification, and there are a lot of things on that list, but the things that I usually recommend first off, would be a good quality multivitamin and some N-acetylcysteine and L-carnitine. Those things help with energy generation and with removing the buildup of cellular metabolites in your body. So that can help people start feeling better, usually pretty quick. Within a week, you'll start feeling better, especially if you're taking the N-acetylcysteine. And then, well, there's more to come. This music in the background means we're getting ready for another break. So I'm going to ask you to get your calls ready. Call 888-440-4442. I will be back after this break to take your questions about all chronic pain and specifically fibromyalgia. So be back in 3 minutes.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now 1-888-440-4442.
Welcome back from the break. I am your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro, and we're in the second half of the show now. So this would be a good time to call in with your questions, 888-440-4442, and I will do the best I can to get you feeling better today. So right before the break, we were talking about fibromyalgia and some of the things, the problems that people have. And the next problem that I want to talk about that's a big part of fibromyalgia and doesn't usually get addressed, at least not early on, is the digestive problems. People with fibromyalgia have a lot of problems with digestion, and the symptoms can go everywhere from difficulty swallowing, heartburn, all the way down to chronic constipation or chronic diarrhea, and symptoms everywhere in between. So one of the problems is that their digestive tracts are very sensitive to what they put in there. And part of that reason could be that between a combination of the prescription medicines they've taken, usually antibiotics, and some of the other problems that they have, the bacteria that normally live inside their digestive tract has changed. It's not the same as what it was intended to be. They're not organisms that play well together. So the problem is that there's this battle going on with good bacteria and bad bacteria, and the poor person suffering with fibromyalgia is the battleground. The most effective way to overcome that is with taking probiotics. The problem is that's not a quick fix. It takes a long time taking probiotics to eventually replace all of the bacteria in the gut with good bacteria. And a big part of that problem, reason it's so difficult, is body temperature. People with fibromyalgia tend to have a lower body temperature. And even a temperature difference of a half a degree or so can make a difference in what type of bacteria thrive in the digestive tract, so that we got multiple things going on at the same time that have to be treated. So taking the probiotics, eating fermented foods, all those recommendations for improving gut flora, but also improving body temperature. And there are two main organ systems involved in regulating body temperature. That's the thyroid gland and the adrenal glands. And both should be investigated, because people with fibromyalgia frequently have problems with both. And you can't treat them by trying to do it all with thyroid medicine or all with adrenal gland management. There aren't really any magic medicines to treat adrenal gland problems. You have to treat those with nutritional supplements and lifestyle changes. So it gets complex, and we can't start everything at once, because then we don't know what worked and what didn't. So usually this is a slow, methodical process, and it can take a long time, even under the best of circumstances, to recover from fibromyalgia. So pick up the phone now if you've got fibromyalgia and give me a call, 888-440-4442, or use the contact form on the website, painlessliving.com. You can also get information on Facebook, Painless Living Radio Show, and there's a Twitter feed that keeps helpful information, helpful general tips about chronic pain at Painless Living. And then certainly listen to the show live every week at 11 a.m. to noon. I want to go back to our question from the email from the contact form on the website. One of the things she says here, because I sleep so much, I keep getting my medicines confused. There is too much medicine. Even on a good day, I can hardly keep them straight. And right there is probably one of the problems, not just for this person, but for many people with fibromyalgia, is they might, with all the different problems they have, they might be seeing three or four different doctors, each doctor prescribing a different medicine or maybe two, and then the medicines themselves can be interacting and causing some of the side effects, like the confusion. People with fibromyalgia already have a problem with brain fog, but when you start adding a lot of medicines into the mix, it just makes it a lot harder. And like this lady says, there's too much medicine. And this is difficult sometimes because a lot of times those medicines are necessary, and a lot of times they're just treating side effects of other medicines. And sometimes figuring out which is tough, but you have to try instead of doing the knee-jerk thing, which is just to add another medicine for the combination of other medication problems. All right, we've got a caller on the line now. We're going to go to Kenneth, who's calling from Louisville.
Yes,
Kenneth,
sir.
You're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm 70 years old, and up until a few years ago, I was an avid bicyclist. In the summer and warm weather and in the winter months, I did a lot of exercise and walked and hiked and stuff like this. And because of discomforts the last few years, I can't do any of them. And let me just start out telling you, hopefully simply, what it is.
Okay.
It started out on my feet, and I felt like my sock was all bundled up in my, wrinkled up in my shoe. And from that, it progressed to my feet. The whole foot was getting very, very sensitive on the bottom. It hurts if I walk too far, especially on concrete. And also along with this, for a number of years, I've had back trouble, pain in the back, aching on both sides of my back and on my hips and all. And I went to a orthopedic foot doctor, and he checked out everything and said it was okay. Then I went to a back specialist, and he did a myelogram, and he said, well, you know, for a man my age, you know, there were some things in there, but he said nothing that really raised a red flag that could be causing my back problems or my foot problems and leg problems. And then I went to two neurologists, and the last one said I had trouble, what do you call it, with my nerves.
Peripheral neuropathy?
Peripheral neuropathy. But all of my symptoms don't, in fact, they had a hard time with it because all my symptoms didn't quite fit with peripheral neuropathy. Number one is I'm not a diabetic. Number two, I don't have much stabbing nerve pain. Excuse me. Number three, I don't have any numbness in my feet. But I do have sensitivity in my feet and some tingling and all in my feet and my calves and my legs. So they did a test for the peripheral neuropathy, and they found out that I did have it. They did an inductive nerve test.
Okay.
and they found out that I did have it. But they said it was, they used the word idiopathic, meaning they couldn't, they didn't know what was causing it. Recently, I started getting stiffness and hurting and aching in my shoulders, in my fingers, and in my hands. So, to be honest with you, I'm sorry that, you know, I don't want to give up and say, well, you know, I'm just going to have to, you know, suck it up and.
Well, when they did that myelogram on you, did they just do the myelogram in your low back, or did they do your whole spine?
They just did it in my low back.
Okay. What you might do is see if you can get an MRI of your neck, because okay. Everything that you're describing is consistent with spinal stenosis in the neck. Now, okay. When your symptoms first started in your feet, the logical place to look for spinal stenosis affecting only the lower extremities is your low back. But when you didn't find anything there, the next most likely place to look is the neck. And when you started getting those symptoms in your shoulders and hands, that's pretty common then that the spinal stenosis would be in your neck. And I'll even go one step further, knowing that you're an avid cyclist or that you were an avid cyclist. It's either at C3-4 or C4-5. Those are the discs. It's the second or third disc down in your neck is most likely where you have the spinal stenosis that's causing all that, just because that's where cyclists most often develop chronic problems, just because of the posture that you're holding with your neck while you're riding long distances. So see if you can get an MRI of your neck, and that might help find out what's causing all this and lead to a solution for you.
Okay, very good, sir. I appreciate your program, and I appreciate your help.
All right, Kenneth, good luck to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we've got Marv now. Marv, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Hey, this is Marv from Honolulu. Dr.
Okay.
Cesaro, it's a pleasure to meet
Marv,
you.
Marv, just one thing, that music in the background. I'm sorry to have taken your call right before a break, but I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break, and we'll get to you right after we come back. Okay?
Okay. Thank
hold
you.
On, please. So we'll be back right after the break to take your calls on the Painless Living Show.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Okay, welcome back from the break, and we are going back now to Marv from Honolulu. Marv, you're on the air. How can I help you this morning?
Oh, hi. It's a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Cesaro. This is Marv from Honolulu, and I forgot to ask your screener. I do actually have a question, and
okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about because I couldn't find your stream. But my question is twofold. One is, can you refer me to any doctors that have a similar philosophy as you on treating the source and not the symptom in Honolulu? And my second question is, do I need to be concerned about the statin prescription my doctor gave me? It's rosuvastatin calcium, and I stopped taking it after about a week because of all the negative reviews I'm reading online.
Okay, the first part of your question, I can't really give you the specific name of a doctor in Honolulu that has the same philosophy that I have, but the first thing I would suggest doing is to look for a functional medicine doctor. Just either use Google or some other search engine to look for a functional medicine doctor. And I'm sure that there are some in Honolulu. I've been out there myself on vacation, but my daughter actually went to the University of Hawaii for her first 2 years of college. So we visited her out there also and briefly considered doing an extended stay. So I looked a little bit into the medical community there, and there are functional medicine doctors. And what a functional medicine doctor is someone that looks at your whole body. It's different from holistic because it does, it is the practice of medicine. It's just the practice of medicine for you as a whole person instead of just a body part that hurts or whatever. And then the second part of your question was, remind me again.
I have a follow-up appointment with my doctor in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And he's going to ask why my cholesterol has dropped a little bit, and it is not real high. It's just slightly above average. I don't have the figures, but he gave me, he prescribed rosuvastatin calcium as a preventative measure, and I stopped taking it after 1 week. And what do I need to tell him as to why I stopped taking it? I mean, is there a good medical source that I can bring with me on a sheet of paper?
Okay.
I don't want to upset him, you know.
Well, right off the top of my head, I can't give you a specific site, but what I would do is, once again, use your internet search engine and go on PubMed. That's PubMed, PubMed. That's the largest index out there of scientific medical journal articles. And do a search on PubMed for adverse reactions to statin medications. And you'll come up with hundreds of articles, literally hundreds of articles of adverse reactions to these statin medications. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of my philosophy here, but that just bolsters your belief. It's not really going to hold up as, you know, what you're looking for, something solid that's not just what the radio doctor said. But when I was in medical school, the normal range for cholesterol went to 260. They didn't lower the normal range to 200 until they came up with these statin medications, which did a good job of lowering cholesterol from 250 to 200, but they're horrible at lowering cholesterol from 300 down to 250. So they changed the normal range so that a whole bunch more people would need medicine, a medicine that they just happened to now have. So I took a very cynical look at these medications from the beginning. But when you look at it, there really is no disease of high cholesterol. That's a myth. The disease is heart disease, but these statin medications, they don't really prevent heart disease or heart attacks. All of the PubMed articles you read, they really have to go to a stretch to find any benefit. The most recent one I said is that, for keeping in mind that most heart attacks are drop-dead heart attacks. So if you survived your first heart attack, they were able to come up to show a statistically significant minimal difference in survival of a second heart attack. So maybe there is a little bit of benefit there for people that have already had a heart attack, but for the most part, all you get is side effects from the statin medicines. And from my perspective as a pain management doctor, I do things like implant spinal stimulators in people and, you know, high-end invasive stuff sometimes. And I used to have to wait for major trauma to generate patients for me to do those kind of invasive procedures for. Nowadays, anybody on a statin medication can get such severe nerve pain that they need those kind of invasive medications. So on the one hand, it may be very good for business, but on the other hand, I believe in the end result, those medicines do more harm than good. Now, that's my opinion. But look at PubMed. You'll find plenty of articles on PubMed that will point you to the hazards of statin medications.
That's wonderful.
All right, Marv, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Good luck to you, and keep listening.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha. Oh, I love that when people from Hawaii call that aloha. All right, we've got another caller on the line. We're going to try to get this in before the end of the show here. Oops. And we're going to Tana from Mount Washington. You're on the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning? Hello, Tana? All right, we will go back to talking about fibromyalgia, and maybe she'll come back to the phone here. Okay, today's show topic was fibromyalgia. We probably don't have enough time for another call if Tana comes back to the phone. Otherwise, we might get one more in. That number is 888-440-4442. Or you can always go to the painlessliving.com website for information about the show and about chronic pain. Twitter is at Painless Living. And then on Facebook, Painless Living Radio Show. Hello, Tana?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. How can I help you this morning?
Okay, great. I just seen that you were talking about fibromyalgia today.
Yes.
And I have a question for you.
Yes? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we've got about...
I'm here, and I don't know why he can't hear me.
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay. My question is about mycoplasm.
Okay. For our listeners, those are small organisms like germs that can cause weird infections.
Okay. Now, am I talking to Dr. Cassaro now?
Yes, this is Dr. Cassaro. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. So, this time delay's got me screwed up, Dr. Cassaro. I'm so sorry. I have just been reading about the mycoplasm, and how would I get tested for that? I've learned that, like, there's 8 different types of herpes now. The CMV, the Epstein-Barr virus, and to my knowledge, I don't believe I've ever been tested for anything like that, and would it help me to get tested for those viruses and bacteria?
We do have tests for some things. It's not actually tests for the germs themselves, but it's tests for your body's reaction to those germs. So if your body is reacting, we can test for and detect that. Now, there are thousands of things that we can test for, but there are tens of thousands of things, or maybe more, that we can't test for. We can just suspect that we're there, and we can find them sometimes and grow them on a culture sometimes, but we can't always test them. And when you're talking about chronic illness, it doesn't really, the testing is not really the most important thing as far as getting you over the chronic illness. It's more strengthening your overall immune system function. And that's a common approach no matter what the organism is, whether it's a mycoplasm or a virus or even one of the bacteria like tuberculosis.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, but we don't have a lot of time to discuss this further. That music in the background there means...
You know what? I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to call Claudia Monday and make an appointment with you because you know the vitamins I carried in there last time. And, I don't know why I'm not feeling any better. I could do like the other listener said, sleep 24 hours a day with no energy.
We're at the end of the show now, so I'm gonna thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and